Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the Gospel of Mark is an interesting gospel. I've mentioned this before. It's the shortest of the four gospels. And there's certain things within the gospel that Mark goes through quite quickly. He maybe spends three verses, for instance, on the baptism of Jesus, maybe another three on the temptation in the wilderness, whereas Matthew and Luke will use more like 10, 12 verses for those things. But then you get a story like this, where we get all sorts of details, and we get 20 verses on the casting out of the evil spirits in this one person. And what that should indicate to us is that this is an important passage within this gospel. In the chapter previous to this, Jesus was being pressed in by the crowds. And because he was being pressed in by crowds and he still wanted to do some teaching, he had his disciples find him a boat, and he preached from the boat. And then after he was done preaching, he invited the disciples to come into the boat with him, and they crossed from the west side to the east side of the sea or lake of Galilee. And what that means is that crossing to the opposite shore, Jesus and his disciples entered into what is known as Gentile country. He entered into a country and a land filled with non-Jewish people. And as he gets off the boat, he immediately is met by a man who is described as having an unclean or an evil spirit. And actually, the literal translation would be that this man has an unclean spirit. And we find out very quickly that this man is in a terrible condition. He is in an awful way. We find out that he is living naked amongst tombs and in a graveyard, that it looks like people from the surrounding countryside have tried to subdue this man. They've tried to chain and lock him up. They've put irons on his legs, shackles, chains. But yet, these evil spirits that are possessing him have given him such strength that he can break these bonds. And he's reckless. It feels like he's a dangerous person. He's got this inhuman strength to break chains. No one has the strength to subdue him. And this poor soul is in such torment that he goes about his days crying out and yelling and taking stones and cutting himself as a way to, I don't know, relieve the pain, or he's just tormented. He is alive, but he's spiritually dead, living amongst the dead. He is powerful enough to break chains and bonds, yet he is absolutely bound to the demons that possess him, absolutely bound to his own sin. He is, what you could say, as far away from the reign, the rule, the kingdom of God as a person possibly could be. He is, if anyone in the Gospels is a lost cause, it looks like this guy is it. Do you ever feel like that's you? Like you're a lost cause? Like there's no hope for you? That you're so far away from the Lord that there's no way you could ever get back? That there's no way you could ever be loved? Because in a sense, you should. To a degree, and in a certain point of view, we should feel that way. We should see in ourselves, and the point of it, Mark including this story into this gospel, is that we should see ourselves in the place of the man possessed by evil spirits. As a person who, without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. that we might as well be living in a graveyard. That without Jesus, we are hopelessly bound. That we are a lost cause. That we are a person not under the reign and rule of God, but under the reign and rule of something else. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about us as we are without Jesus. That without Jesus, we are dead in our trespasses and in our sins in which we once walked. That we were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, which is a reference to Satan himself. Scripture says that if we aren't under the reign and rule of God, we're under the reign and rule of the devil. Jesus actually refers to Satan as the ruler of this world. This is who this man is under. And apart from Jesus, it's who we are under as well. There are times, I know, when we think we are strong enough to maybe break the endless cycle of sin that might have its bond on us. But this story teaches us, no, you're not. No, you're not. This passage teaches us that though we might think we are free to live as we want, we're not. We're dead. And in the end, we're bound. And if there is a chain that binds you, the chain that binds us most, especially I think as Americans living in a land of the free, is the perception that we actually are free. We're not. We are bound. We see it in our green book, our confession that we have from the LBW. I am in bondage to sin and I cannot free myself. It might as well read, I am like the man possessed by the evil spirits in Mark. I can't free myself. This is who we are. Scripture teaches us, and we've been studying this in Romans in our adult Bible study, that we are really bound to one of two things. We are bound, we are slaves of God and righteousness, or we are bound to sin and death. There is no in between. And the story of this man is exactly this. He goes from one extreme to the absolute other. In one extreme, he is possessed by evil spirits. Our translation calls it lots. In the original language, it's the demon's name is Legion. And it's a reference to a Roman military group that was about 5,000 soldiers. It gives you an idea of the quantity and the vastness with which this man is possessed by evil spirits. In one, at the beginning of the story, he is possessed by demons. By the time the end comes, he is possessed with a desire to be with Jesus. There is no in-between for him. There is no in-between for us. Jesus sees this man as a hopeless cause. And the man doesn't ask Jesus to do something for him. Jesus just sees him and wants to free him and finally give this man what he truly needs. And he does battle with the demon. He casts it out. And it's a little strange detail in the story. And if you're a pig farmer, this probably really irks you. But the demons, they see a herd of pigs. And they want to be cast into the herd of pigs, and they do, and then they cause the pigs to run over a cliff and be drowned in a sea. And like I said, if you're a pig farmer, you're seeing thousands of dollars just tumult off the cliff. But in here, the idea is that Jesus takes unclean spirits, and he casts them out into an unclean animal, at least defined by the Jews, and when those animals die, those spirits are finally and fully defeated. It might feel to us like the ruler of this world, like our own sinful desires are too strong to overcome, like like nothing could possibly free us, that we truly are a lost cause. But this story tells us otherwise. That the one who has true strength to free a person from what binds them is none other than Jesus. When the demons see Jesus, they can't help but fall to their knees because they know that this person has authority. There is no such thing to Christ as a lost cause. There is no one who is so far gone that Jesus cannot free them, claim them, call them child. There is no heart so hardened that our Lord can't take it and make it again into a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. As I said, at the end of this passage, the man is no longer possessed and bound by demons. Rather, he is possessed and bound by Jesus. He wants to go with them, but Jesus says, no, stay here, go tell it to your families. And the man travels around the whole area telling everyone in this region of 10 cities about what Jesus Christ has done for him, and they are amazed by it. May the Lord show us fully what he has done for us. And may we be possessed in such a way by our Lord Jesus Christ to not be able to do anything else but to tell others what Christ has done for us. Amen.